I'm going to be starting. I don't know just when. I might start tonight, but I'm not sure. On a lengthy series of messages on the life of Moses. And I'm telling you what, it is something else. And there's every time when America needs a Moses, it's right now. And Moses' life is about deliverance. And the thing that really encourages me about it is that God can raise up deliverance in the most unusual places and the most unusual people. And so God specializes in just taking situations that look impossible and bringing deliverance. Bless your heart, He's going to bring deliverance. Jesus is coming back. Amen. I worked yesterday worked a long time on a message. And I wound up with three messages. Amen. And I mean, every one of them I'd like to preach. But during the week, I was doing something, and I'm kind of helping you understand because I'm going to head a direction I wouldn't normally head. But I just feel like it's, as I was sitting over this morning, really trying to get in tune with God about it, I feel real comfortable. This is where God wants me to go, and it's just totally different. It isn't anything I had prepared. It's just simply this week, God just laid this little old message on my heart, and I scribbled it down on a little old piece of paper and laid it aside because that's what I do a lot of times, and I'll come back maybe someday. But, well, the Lord burdened my heart with it this morning, and I'm going to just bring it very simple, and but I hope it'd be something to help you. Not very long ago, a young lady and her mother came to me here in church looking for some scriptures and so forth. In fact, it was Jennifer and Jaylene, you here. I see you're over there. And I'm not trying to point you out or embarrass you, but Jaylene came. She had run up against some problems, some issues that she was taking a stand for in the scriptures. And she was needing some help, some scriptures and so forth. And so I worked with her on that. And it really, Jaylene, I want to tell you, I appreciated God sending you through that battle. And I want to encourage you that God really, it's an important time in your life. And I want to encourage you to stay by this old book. And I'm going to just preach a real simple message. This message kind of sprung off of that, hearing her heart and her mother and so forth. I want to preach just a simple message of encouragement for the young ladies of this church. I'm going to preach specifically to the young ladies of this church. And, you know, that may mean you're 30 or it may mean you're 7 or 5. I don't know. First of all, I want you young ladies to know something, that this church loves you. And we do understand that you're going through. You're living in a sick generation. That there's pressures on you and influences on you and temptations on you. That it's a shame that you got them. Another thing that brought this into being was that this Saturday my daughter Sarah's getting married. And I have three daughters. And I had a man tell me one time in relationship to me having daughters. He said, Reggie, he said, I tell you, he said, boy, he said, we didn't have any daughters. And he said, I'm kind of glad in a way, because the boy said, I'm kind of handling boys. But he said, if a girl goes bad on you, said, it's a rough thing. Hard for a guy, hard for a father sometimes to understand or deal with. And Denise and Dennis, know you guys want to say again, we extend our sympathy to you about your daddy. I didn't get over there to the service. I hope you forgive me for that. But I hope God just gives you a good comfort and peace in this time. But I've been thinking a lot about Sarah getting married. And I thought about some things that God has been faithful in. And when I was a little boy, I remember one of the first people that I remember being reflected as womanhood in America was Marilyn Monroe. And that's a pretty sick thing to look back on, too, that she was exalted and lifted up as womanhood in America. I feel sorry for her. She left a note on her suicide when she committed suicide. She had sold herself for $1 million for a nude photo in Playboy. She overdosed herself shortly after that. It came out and wrote a note, it wasn't worth it, and died in her own vomit beside her bed. But no one talks about Marilyn Monroe's spiritual and emotional travesty. They just still throw her pictures out and all this stuff, and they still use her. Satan still using her. She was approached. She was working in a factory. She was approached by a man in a factory looking for models. That's how she got started. Now we're coming down in our day to people like Miley Cyrus. And I'm not going to ask hands in here how many knows Miley Cyrus, but this is one of the sickest, vile, perverted, out of hell, satanic representations of womanhood that you could ever dream out of hatch out of hell. So we've come from Marilyn Monroe to Miley Cyrus in the world, and Dad's talking about what's being conformed to this world. It's either this book or the world's way, and it's either Christ's way or the world's way. And specifically, one of the things so many things I like to preach on, but let me tell you something, the church doesn't have a hold of this in this generation, that there's a difference between the church and the world. And I'm telling you, God takes that serious, and the church is not to be infiltrated by nor to be conformed to the world. And Lord has dealt with me more and more about this all the time, that He does not want the world in the church, and that means in me or in the church at large. But there's a warfare for the heart of these young ladies. And I just want to give you some encouragement this morning that although Satan is after you, that he wants to destroy your life, God also will hide you and shelter you and take you through. One of the toughest things that I've seen is where a young lady will try to do right, get saved and try to live right, try to dress right, have a good attitude, honor the Lord with her life. And she finds out soon that the boys ain't interested in that. And I'd encourage the young men of this church to respect these girls that's trying to do right. Don't just chase after them girls that's painting themselves up and trying to show their bodies off to you and flaunting themselves at you. I'll tell you one thing, after you've been married 10 to 15 years, you'll appreciate a woman's got some holiness about her and some righteousness about her. And I'm burdened for these girls who try to live right, and yet they seem to be the ones left off the deal. I'm going to say this morning and not Saturday. And my girls are sinners. They're my daughters. They've got enough sin in them to send them to hell. And I wept because after Sarah gave the other day, I thought about, I just wanted to spend a little time with her. And it dawned on me that I had never taken her out on a personal date in my life. So I asked her the other day, I said, Sarah, Daddy'd like to take you out for a date. So we drove to Springfield, just her and I, and ate supper together. And of course, I had to go to Andy's, you know. But I was driving up the road, and we were visiting, and I thought, Reggie, what's wrong with you? Why didn't you do this years ago? I took him a lot of places. We did a lot of things, but I never took time for her individually. And God showed me something. Reggie, it's great to do a family, but each child needs to know individually that they're special. The Lord has blessed us with our daughters. I haven't had to go find them some night anywhere. I haven't had to go try to find them. Just God's grace. I know that they haven't done everything right, but I'm so glad that I can come up here on Saturday and walk her up the aisle and, you know, just know that God's grace has been sufficient. Sarah, I want to tell you, I thank you for your patience and faith in the Lord. Because I'll tell you, when these girls get to be 20 and 21 and 22, 23, 24 and 25, and they've tried to, you know, keep themselves and tried not to just chase the world, it can get pretty rough wondering where God's at. And the devil can tell them 500 times a day it doesn't pay to serve the Lord, it doesn't pay to do right. And there's always been a soft place in my heart for the young ladies of the church who get up to that age or even further and aren't married. Now I understand that God puts singleness in some people's lives. But I also believe He'll give grace for that. But it's just very, very natural to want a companion. And to have somebody that you can love in a very special way. And someone that loves you in a very special way. And Sarah, I want to tell you, as your dad, I want to thank you for the faith that you've had in the Lord all these years. And I know you don't like me talking about you from the pulpit, but when I give you away, you're going to be His. I've got one last Sunday to give a shot, and I'm going to do it. But I do want to thank you. So, girls, here's what I want to tell you a few things this morning. Let's look at chapter 31, verse number 10. Who can find a virtuous woman? For her price is far above rubies. The heart of her husband doth safely trust in her, so that he shall have no need to spoil. She will do him good and not evil all the days of her life. She seeketh wool and flax and worketh willingly with her hands. She is like the merchant ship. She bringeth her food from afar. She riseth also while it is yet night and giveth meat to her household and a portion to her maidens. She considereth the field and buyeth it. The fruit of her hands she planteth a vineyard. She girdeth her loins with strength and strengtheneth her arms. She perceiveth that her merchandise is good. Her candle goeth not out by night. She layeth her hands to the spindle and her hands hold the distaff, and she stretcheth out her hand to the poor. Yea, she reacheth forth her hands to the needy. She is not afraid of the snow for her household, for all the household are clothed with scarlet. She maketh herself coverings of tapestry, her clothing is silk and purple. Her husband is known in the gates when he sitteth among the elders of the land. She maketh fine linen, selleth it, and delivereth girdles unto the merchant. Strength and honor are her clothing, and she shall rejoice in time to come. She opened her mouth with wisdom, and in her tongue is the law of kindness. She looketh well to the ways of her household, and eateth not the bread of idleness. Her children rise up and call her blessed. Her husband also, and he praiseth her. Many daughters have done virtuously, but thou excellest them all. Favor is deceitful, and beauty is vain. But a woman that feareth the Lord, she shall be praised. Give her the fruit of her hands, and let her own works praise her in the gates. When I think about, and I'm not preaching on Sarah this morning, I'm just mentioning that this part of it brought it in. She has never mouthed me that I know of. If she's ever mouthed back at me, ever smirked back at me, ever smarted back at me, I don't remember it. I ain't saying she didn't want to. And so the Lord has been making me realize how blessed we've been. How good God has been to us. Amen. So girls, you young ladies of the church, I want to give you just a few little things here this morning. Hope you write them down somewhere. Little words. And they'll all start with an S. I don't know why God gave this to me, but it did. Number one, girls, be sure you're saved. Girls, be sure you're saved. I want to tell you girls something this morning. Unsaved girls die and go to hell too. Girls that aren't saved die and go to hell too. You must be born again too. Being a good girl of daddy's, having the wool pulled over daddy's eyes, or being the little star of grandma and grandpa will not save your soul. I believe you ought to dress right, but dressing right won't save your soul. You need to have a time when you've come to realize that you're a sinner. An awful sinner. Separated from God by your sins. And that you need a substitute, a sacrifice, a Savior. Only to be found in the Lord Jesus Christ. It needs to be a time when you've trusted Christ alone. You not trust how good you've been. That you've done. Or any kind of merit or efforts that you've made toward God. The old song says, nothing in my hand I bring, simply to the cross I cling. And girls, my heart's desire for you as your pastor is that you be saved. And if there's any girls here this morning, you've never been born again in the Spirit of God, I beg of you in Jesus' name, talk to God while I'm preaching. Or just, you can get saved where you're sitting. You can come up here somewhere or go in the back to get your mom and daddy. Say, Mom and Daddy, I need to be saved. I don't want to embarrass anybody this morning, but one of the Stanford girls back here, I got a letter where she had received the Lord. Is that correct? Is it the oldest? I forget your name. What's your name? Rebecca. They mailed me a letter how that they had listened to a CD and she had gotten saved. And Rebecca, I want to encourage you in the Lord. How old are you now? 19 years old. Rebecca, I want to encourage you in the Lord, okay? And I'm glad that it was the day when you realized that you needed a Savior. It wasn't just enough to be dressed right and so forth and be submissive to your mother and your father. But you need to be born again. You need to be saved. Number two, girls, not only be saved, but be sure about it. Get sure about your salvation. I had a man tell me yesterday, Brother Munn called me, wants me to come down and preach sometime this spring. And he said, you know, he was telling me about some situations. And he said, Reggie, if the devil can ever talk a person out of their salvation once, he'll do it a dozen times. You get saved and you get sure about it. And let me tell you why you can be sure, because of what this book says, not because of how you feel. Not because of how well you've lived, but because of what this book says. And you're going to have to get sure if you're going to let God use you. You can't be wallowing here and there and being blown around and tossed around and wandering, being an emotional up and down. You just need to get that thing about salvation sure. If you're not sure, you need to get sure based upon the Word of God. And let me say something to you, girls. If you get saved and you're sure, you can be secure. Number three, you can be secure. Girls, let me tell you something. Boys may leave you. Husbands may leave you, but I'll tell you what, Jesus will never leave you. And I'll tell you something, you need to know you're secure in Christ. I'm telling you, David said, when my mother and my father forsake me, then the Lord will take me in. And I'll tell you, we got a generation of girls that are looking for attention somewhere. They're looking for somebody to pay attention to them. Would somebody notice me? And girls, let me tell you something. I beg you in Jesus' name that you want God's attention. Don't be seeking the attention or the approval of everybody else. You get the attention of God. God's attention to you will be all you need. It'll be the kind of attention that'll last and be good for you. So be saved, be sure about it, and be secure in the knowledge that He'll never leave you nor forsake you. I wished I could sit here today and my prayer would be that every one of you girls would marry a godly man, but I'm not sure there's enough of them for all of it, just the girls in our church. A guy that loves God enough to not want to dishonor your body before marriage. A guy that loves you enough that he'll pray and help you grow in the Lord, not try to tear you down. A boy that is more interested in being real, not trying to act spiritual, but just be spiritual. So I want you to be secure in the Lord, because as I said, I wished it wouldn't be so, but my goodness, all these kids up here and all these young ladies here, it'd be a miracle if some of you don't marry a jerk. You're going to marry some outfit you find out was not at all what you thought you were marrying, and you're going to have to live with it. And you're going to need to be secure in Christ because of the stupid things He does and says and acts, and He might leave you, and you're going to have to be secure in Christ. The next thing I'd encourage you young ladies to be, and that's spiritual. Truly spiritual. I'm not talking about doing what you know mom and daddy or the preacher or somebody thinks you ought to act like, talk like, look like, walk like. I'm talking about a true, genuine walk with God if your mom and dad runs a beer joint. I'm talking about a young lady that reads her Bible. Sometimes because it's her joy to, and sometimes because it's her duty to. She's going to walk with God. A girl who's not living in two worlds. One's a church world and the other's a wicked world. But a girl who is truly, truly spiritual. Who is real. Who's walking with God. A girl who knows how to pray. A girl who is walking in the Spirit, who is being led by the Spirit. Let me tell you something. There would be no way that you girls will discern when you should stay away from somebody unless you're spiritual. Amen. I cannot, even in this church over the last 30 years, tell you how many girls were deceived by boys who were acting spiritual. If there's anything that rips my heart out, it's see some precious girl duped by some sorry, low-down, blood-sucking, out-of-hell hypocrite. So girls, I tell you, I want to encourage you to be spiritual. You walk with God. You read your precious Bible. You have that Bible by your bedside. I tell you, have a Bible by the bedside, not a bunch of discs under the mattress. Be spiritual. Become a woman of prayer now. Amen. Please listen to me. There's going to come a day you're going to need to know how to pray. You're going to need to know how to pray. Pray now. Learn how to serve now. Spiritually, learn how to serve. But let me say the next thing is be solid, girls. This is an area that I just want to hammer on for a little bit. Be solid. I'll tell you, girls have a tendency. Somebody said, Reggie, God always puts men in leadership. You know, you ask God about all that and he gets heaven. But I can tell you one thing. I'm not for Sarah Palin being president no more than I am Hillary Clinton. Now, you listen to me this morning. I'm glad for what she stands for, but where's her husband? The Bible is very clear that it's a curse when women are ruling over you. It's a sign of judgment. Be solid in your doctrine. Don't get moved around by cultural trends. Move by what seems to be the way, oh well, things are different than, I'm going to tell you something. Things are not one bit different than when your great-grandma was alive. Not one bit different. They're not one bit different than your 15th grandma back from you. They're not one different concerning this old book. And you need to get established and rooted and grounded and settled and be not moved away from the faith. Get solid. I'm talking about get solid. If you don't, your emotions will carry you away. Some of you girls right now, you have no intention of marrying a Mormon. But if you ain't careful, some little Mormon boy crack a smile at you and the first thing you know, you start thinking, or you don't have any marrying a drunk or a drug head or anything else, but he's going to come on, pay attention to you and your emotions are going to take you away. And I'm telling you, you need to get solid. If I was you young girls, I'd write down some things right now. I'd write down some things in my Bible flyleaf that has to be about the man I marry. I'd write some things down, and if he don't meet this, I just won't get married. Now you say, Mr. Perfect ain't out there. That's right. I'm not talking about Mr. Perfect. I'm talking about some things you better have solid, or you're going to have trouble the rest of your life with. They're not off. It's not hard to get out there. I'm talking about be solid and be settled. The next thing is get settled. You got to know what you believe. Know what you believe. Get settled in some things. 1 Peter 5, be rooted and grounded and settled in the Word of God. Get settled about who Jesus Christ is. Get settled about how you're supposed to dress. Get settled about your morals. And the next thing I want to say to you is this, girls, and I mean this with every fiber in my soul. Young ladies, be strong. Be strong. This passage of Scripture says she's strength and honor are her clothing. We've got too many weak-willed girls in this country who don't have the capacity in them to say no. And girls, I want to tell you something. I want strong girls in this church. I want girls who cannot be pulled over to the devil's side. I want girls who can't be pulled over to the wrong way of dressing and pulled over to the wrong way of fixing yourself up. I mean, I never seen the like in my life now. It's noses pierced and lips pierced and belly buttons pierced and tattoos here and body paint here and all that stuff's wrong. All that stuff's wrong. And I'm talking about pierced right here too. I'm going to tell you, parents, right now, your little girl comes up to you and wants her ears pierced, you ought to talk to her about what God says about her body in the temple of the Lord, and that's pagan practices. That's not Christian practices. The old pagans from Africa put their stuff through their ears and their noses. That's right. I love you. Trying to help you. That's what I'm saying. You've got to be strong, girls. Listen, this is no generation for weak little girls who don't have any inner fiber to them. Because all around you, even here in church, you're going to be pressured to wear the wrong kind of clothes and listen to the wrong kind of music and fix yourself up and paint yourself up and all this kind of... I'm going to tell you something. I'm going to make a statement here. And if you don't like it, I don't give a royal so-and-so. But I'll tell you what, we've got... The Mennonites has got something on us. It wouldn't do us any harm to look at them. I'll tell you what, I was down at a rest home one time and there's a youth group of Mennonite young people in there singing. And I'm going to be honest with you, I never heard such godly singing. Ever, anywhere on the face of this earth did I hear such Christ-honoring, glorifying singing. And I'll tell you what, you didn't see one woman dressed out of whack. You didn't see one bobbed-haired gal there. You didn't see one man with his button down. I'm telling you something, they got something. You see these Mennonite girls around here, and I'll tell you what, I know you can put a dress on a whore. Don't you tell me. I'm not stupid now. But I tell you this much, they have modest dresses on that take your eye to their face and not to their bodies. You say, Reggie, you're promoting being Mennonite? No, I'm promoting being biblical Christian. So I encourage you, be strong. Be strong in faith, girls. Believe God against all odds. You believe God about a husband, no matter what's happening around you. Some of you girls, your good friend, your best friend gets married, and you think you've got to run off and get married. Let me tell you a little something, you girls, this morning. You don't have to have a boyfriend. You don't have to have a boyfriend. In fact, can I tell you, the happiest girls I know and ever watched are the girls who don't have to have a boyfriend all the time. And they're waiting on the Lord. Amen. How many of you girls still think I love you? All right. Amen. I'll tell you what, you girls walking with God know I love you. And I care about it. I want you to be strong in spirit. I want you to be strong in purpose. You be strong. You be strong. Your husband is going to need a strong, godly woman. And that is occurring now. It won't occur after you're married. It's occurring now. And I got to stop or I'll be off into it. Number six, not only be strong, but be smart. Amen. 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 Now, I want to tell you, a bunch of idiots have tried to pervert the scriptures and that women are, because they're not to be the head of the home and because they're not to be the head of governments and so forth, and they're not to be an authority in church and so forth, as women just both sit there like a dummy. That's not at all what the Bible teaches. That's false. That's crazy. That's nonsense. Most women are smarter than men.
Amen.
Now, that's just the flat truth of it. They can pass a test, learn something, get through a teaching quicker than us guys. How many of you guys, it's there, amen? I mean, some of you guys are whiz-bangs, I know, but most of us are wise and smarter than we are. Now, being smart, though, doesn't mean you're to be leading. It means you're to be in a supportive, submissive role in helping that leader be successful.
Amen.
And I'm telling you, I want smart girls in this church. I want you girls smart enough to see a phony boy when you see him.
Amen.
I don't want you stupid. I don't want you stupid. I'm just telling you, when I say smart, I'm talking about the wisdom of God. I'm not talking about street smart. I'm talking about the wisdom of the Lord. We need girls that's got some wisdom. And they're thinking about what's going on. They're thinking about who their friends are. They're thinking about what their friends are enticing them or influencing them. And they're thinking about the places that they're going and what may occur there and what's going on there. And they're thinking about that, how they're going to so forth. And let me give you another one. Be serving, girls. Learn to serve. I hate to tell you this, you're going to be a godly woman, you're just going to be serving people all your life. How many of you mothers can tell your daughters, you're going to serve, honey, you're going to serve. You say, I ain't doing that stuff, fine. Fine. Go mess your world up. But I'm going to tell you something. You ought to learn how to cook and cook good. Amen. Learn how to cook and cook good. Every girl in this church house ought to know how to make homemade bread.
Glory.
Yeah. Every girl ought to know how to make homemade. Every girl in here ought to learn how to boil water. Every girl in here ought to know how to put out a garden.
Amen.
Every girl in here ought to know how to can.
Amen.
And freeze.
Amen.
Every girl in here ought to know how to gut a deer. Amen. That's exactly right. You ought to know how to skin him. Bone him. Every girl in here knows, ought to know how to slap a boy silly. That boy touches you, slap him silly. No, let me give you a verse, girls. Therefore, my beloved, be a steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For as much as you know that your work in the Lord is, your labor in the Lord is not in vain. Girls, whatever God calls you to do in life, whether it's being a wife, a mother, you do it as unto the Lord. If you don't, you're going to get tired of folding clothes. If you don't fold clothes as unto the Lord, the devil tempts you to leave. Make you think you're a slave to these people. But I encourage you to learn to serve. Be helping your mama. Be helping your daddy. Be helping here at church. Find out what you can do to help folks. Help your grandparents. Help the elderly here at church. Find out ways you can learn to serve. The happiest people you've ever met in your life are people just serving the Lord by serving other people. And so, when you serve, stay humble. Stay humble. Do it for God's glory. And I want to close out the message to listen here, and I'm sure there's many other things could be mentioned. These are just the little things that God brought to my mind. Girls, I want you to be straight and simple. You say, Reggie, what do you mean be straight? Dress like a godly woman ought to dress. Before too awful long, I don't know. I've been waiting on the Lord. I actually have it with me. It's right in here. Brother Dan Dietrich did a good study on the clothing in the Bible about 20 years ago here. And I want to have copies of it all done, and I want copies out made and so forth. But girls, I want to tell you something. Be simple. I know you don't like this, but I'm just telling you. When you paint your nails up so that people are looking at your nails, what's the idea behind that? Somebody, would you tell me what's up? I don't know what's up. Can I advise you to do something? Keep it simple. You're going to get married to that guy. I'm going to tell you something. And you keep doing that junk and you're going to be attracting other men to you while you're married to that other guy. Because it attracts. I know one thing, it causes eye focus. I don't know, maybe I just don't understand what it is to be a girl. I do not. I ain't one and never will be. But I can tell you one thing, when I preach on clothing, I'm bringing a dress right here and I'm bringing a pair of pants right here and I'm going to see if I can't get some young man to put the dress on and I'm going to see if I can't get some young woman to put the breeches on right here in church. Wonder how I do trying to get a dress on one of these Wilson boys. Be a wrestling match. Girls, let me tell you something. I'm going to give you some of the best wisdom you're ever going to hear in your life, and that is be modest. And I could go to scripture after scripture this morning. I ain't going to do that. You've heard them. I've preached them. We've read them. Modest means covered. And covered in a way that does not attract to your physical body. Now, I'm going to tell you something, girls. Listen, you girls like, I know you like romance, and romance is a wonderful thing. I hate to tell you this, but your husband, he ain't going to be too awful romantic. after the wedding's over. He ain't going to be real romantic unless he's a special cat, okay? There ain't very many of us guys are real romantic, are we, Ralph? Men are different than women. Okay? I don't tell you what you girls do. You save that leg. You save showing that leg for your husband. Amen. And if you want to show your husband leg all the time, that's fine. Fine. Just don't be showing everybody else your leg. Amen. I'm going to tell you what modesty is. I'm not a big Greek guy, okay? And I don't have to, because I got enough hillbilly sense to know what modesty is. But if you'll do a study on it, you'll find out that it's always below the knee. And I'll tell you how you find that out is by studying the word loin and the word thigh in the Bible. And you'll find out that God always covered those, and that means you're below the knee. And you ought to wear dresses, girls, that when you sit down, nobody can see between your legs. Okay? You need to dress modestly. Now, I'm telling you what, the most attractive women in the world are women who dress modestly. And your husband ain't going to want you looking like a floozy trying to attract other men's eyes. If he is, he's a pervert already, and you really got a problem on your hands. I don't want nobody in the world looking at my wife with lustful eyes. I don't want that, and if I did want that, there'd be something bad wrong with me. But I tell you what, you can dress beautifully. You can. And the more modest you are, the more beautiful it will be. I didn't say you had to cut a hole in the top of a gunny sack and wear that. Not got this woman here, scarlet and silk. She's dressed. Amen? And she's dressed attractively and stuff. And she's reflecting the beauty of the Lord and the glory of God. And I'm for that. I'm not for this, I'm going to look like an old hag so nobody will look at me. I didn't say that. And I ain't promoting that, and God's not promoting that. What I am promoting is I want you to be simple. There's a pattern company called, isn't there a pattern company called Simplicity?
Yes.
Boy, I tell you, that's a wonderful name for a pattern company, Simplicity. Girls, let me tell you something. The sweetest, most beautiful girls in the world are those that are simplistic in their dress and their demeanor and stuff. They're not putting on the dog. I know I can feel the tension, okay? It's all right. But I'm going to tell you, be real. Now, my wife doesn't like me talking about her, but I'm going to tell you, and I want to tell the ladies of this church, I deeply appreciate you wearing women's attire. I realize there may be places and times and situations when you were helping your husband wrestle the old sow down. I understand that you wore overhauls or something or wasn't wearing a dress. I understand that. But I appreciate the ladies of this church dressing modestly and trying to represent the Lord. And I mean that. That's the best preaching these girls will ever get, is what you older women are doing. And so I want you to know I appreciate that. And listen, let me tell you something, girls. I want you to be active. I want you to run and jump and have a good time and ride a four-wheeler and ride a horse. And amen?
Amen.
I mean, I don't know. You might have to ride side saddle, but if I did, I'd fall off. I don't know the rest of it. But what I'm saying is I want you to have a good time. I don't want you to sit around the house. One of the worst things some of you parents are going to do is just have your daughter sitting around the house waiting on Henry to come around. Get that girl to work. Get that girl serving God. Don't just let her do nothing. She'll kill it. She'll die. She'll die. She'll wilt up inside. Keep her busy. The girls, keep it straight. Keep it simple. I want to tell my wife I appreciate what's in her home. And I'm going to say it again. No more than I think I ought to wear a dress. I don't think women ought to be wearing breeches. I just don't think it's fitting. I don't think God's pleased with it. And I know me beating you over the head ain't going to do no good. But one of these days, I tell you, I never will forget in my life being at Myrtle, Mississippi. And a girl got up to testify, and she wanted to tell the crowd. There were about 3,000 or 4,000 people there. And she had a baby. And she said, we reap what we sow. And she said, I was sitting in this camp meeting years ago, and she said, a preacher that I knew got up and said he hit on wearing breeches. And she said, I got mad at him. If I'm not mistaken, it was her pastor, but I'm not sure how the story went. But anyway, and she said, I, with my heart, even though I was dressing right and doing all the things the church said I was supposed to do, she said, my heart was full of rebellion. And I know some of you say, well, that ain't always the case. May not be, but she stood there and she said, I went out and she said, I got in with the wrong crowd in my rebellion and I got to drinking and got into drugs. And she said, I threw my life away. And she said, I wound up with this little baby, and she took and unwrapped that little baby, and he didn't have any arms. No, I'm sorry, no legs. No legs. And she said, this was the statement that got me. She said, I was so proud of my legs. And she said, my daughter does not have any legs. She said, when a preacher gets up and he loves you and he tells you what God's Word says, please don't ever go out of the church mad and go home and say, I tell you what, he makes me sick. I can't stand him and get and rebel. She said, I'm going to raise this little girl and I love her. And she said, I reaped what I sowed. I figure it was the drug uses that probably got the baby. So like, because that'll happen sometimes. And I know that every baby born with a problem like that isn't the result of that. I understand that. But you don't forget somebody. For her, it was that rebellion. So girls, I love you this morning. This church loves you. And let me tell you something else, girls. In spite of all that your mom and dad may do and all the Holy Ghost may do and all the preaching I may preach, you ain't going to live just right. Some of you are going to make some mistakes and mess up. And let me tell you something. The only thing that will keep you from having genuine mercy and forgiveness from this church and these people is if you won't say, I was wrong and I sinned. But if you come prancing back in here and acting like you never did anything and you never say nothing, and you sit there and you're going to self-justify yourself all your life, it'll never be right. I see that more than anything. That's why churches don't have revival. People will not get right. They will not get right. But let me tell you this, girls, you go out and mess up and you come back in here with the honesty before the Lord and repentant heart, we'll sure forgive you. We'll sure welcome you back into fellowship. And I mean that. And we will never stop loving you. We will never, ever stop loving you and stop praying for you. But you know what I'm preaching this message for? I don't want you to go out and get messed up. I want you to walk up that aisle saying, by the grace of God, I don't have a lot of things hanging baggage coming through that I've got to wish wouldn't. Well, I love you. I'm done preaching. As we bow our heads today, might be some young lady here to say, you know, Pastor, it is a battle. And it is. Seems like a lot of times that it's the ones who live in the world that gets the attention and all the reward. And I just want God to give me grace and faith today that I'll just live for the Lord. I realize the devil's after me, but I want to live for God, be in His grace. If you'd just like to slip out of your seat and come and find a place just to pray, maybe, young lady, bring your mom or daddy with you and say, Mom, Daddy, go pray with me. I want to live for the Lord. I want to live for God. Does anybody like that? They just give you a moment or two just to let the Lord have His way in your heart and your life. Let's stand together. Father, we thank You so much for Your precious Word. We thank You, Lord, for the young ladies of this church. Lord, I tell You, they're a blessing. And Lord, You know that we love them. We care about their lives. And Lord, I'm going to ask You something this morning special. I'm going to ask You, Lord, to put an angelic guard around these girls. Lord, make them strong. Strong in spirit and strong in faith. Strong in purpose, Lord. God, help them to be steadfast and help them, Lord, to be strong and solid and Lord, help them to be sure about their salvation, Lord. Lord, I pray today, keep them simple. Help them, Lord, not to want to wear the frills of this world. Help them, Lord, just want to be simply for Christ to be seen in their life. Lord, help them to know that the greatest joy, the greatest blessing, the most fun they'll ever have is just living a clean life before God. And I ask you, Lord, to keep them away from young men that don't have the best in mind for them, just deceiving them and trying to use them and misuse them. Help these girls, Lord, to have spirituality about them, Lord, not to be think they're some super spiritual little ninny running around here, but Lord, they're just a quiet, meek, and yet a sharp, wise young lady who can spot the phoniness. Lord, I pray protect them, because Lord, all we can do, we still can't protect ourselves unless you shield us. Lord, bless the parents as they raise them, and help us, Lord, to pour the Lord Jesus Christ in the hearts of these kids. Lord, I pray that you just bless this church. Holy Spirit of the living God, please forgive us. Have mercy upon us and heal us, I pray. In Jesus' name, amen.